This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
From the Embassy Row studios in the crap part of Soho, it's the Men in Blazers podcast, Rog.
Oh, how are you doing, David?
Good, Rog.
Now, how are you really doing?
How sad? Do you really want me to be sad, don't you?
I know inside, not too far from the surface. I know you're really bereft. I felt that pain many weeks of the season.
It's your sole reason for being. You feel that pain, even when Everton win, Rog.
Well, we'll chat about that, David. Yeah.
How are you, Rog?
Well, I spoke to Barry Hearn today. Yeah. And I asked him how he is.
Yeah.
And he said, if I was any happier, I'd fail the drugs test.
I've heard him say that a few times. About 7,554 times.
You've never heard me say it, though, have you?
Are you really that happy?
I'm pretty delirious.
It's a strange condition for you.
When was the last time this happened? I mean, Dave, I know you don't go in for sad naps.
Yeah.
But for 1 week only, I'm feeling joy. Both at Everton winning.
Yeah.
And some pleasure that you had to look at a Chelsea performance that was as hard to watch as Bear Grylls drinking Michelle Rodriguez's urine.
Yeah.
And I was psyched anyway, David.
Yeah.
Because Guy Ritchie came on the show.
Yeah.
And as well as briefing us on the laws of socklessness with suits.
Yeah.
He said, what did he say? Do you remember? He said, it's a dangerous game.
Yeah.
He revealed a hidden talent.
Yeah.
Guy Ritchie speaks Hebrew.
Well, right after our interview, him and Rog just got heavily into it on the Hebrew. I've never seen you as shocked as when he started talking to you in pretty good Hebrew.
Let's hear it now.
Ata medaberivrit.
Oh, Ken. Guy Ritchie, ani medaberivrit, ani ohev. I love you.
Anachnu medaber biyachad.
Oh, Ken,
Ken. Ze en baya bishvili.
Oh, chamudi. Oh, Ken.
Motek, motek. Bola abba. Bola pina, bola abba.
I have no idea what's happening. What were you talking about?
Oh, we were just professing our mutual admiration for each other. And they love for each other. But I spent. Why does Guy Ritchie speak Hebrew?
Good question. I have no idea.
Lock, stock, and two smoking Bruiguses.
Yeah, exactly.
He told us it was his party trick with Hollywood agents to just start breaking. I don't know many Hollywood...
I haven't met many Hollywood agents who speak Hebrew, Rog.
It's going to come in very handy, please God, because we spent the whole afternoon desperately trying to get Guy Ritchie to remake Victory.
Yeah.
That scene where they break the goalkeeper's arm so Sylvester Stallone can play it haunted me as a child. Yeah. I suggested Guy think about making Victory from the German POV.
Yeah.
Be an awesome film. Mm-hmm. Like, they'd all be like, WTF, we got Pelé and Bobby Moore in one of our prison camps.
Mm-hmm.
Be amazing, Davey.
Yeah.
Talking about Germans, big news. The past week in England.
Yes, Rog, new survey.
National survey.
A quarter of Germans, when asked for an image that sums up their country, who do they think of? Well, 25%, Adolf Hitler, Rog. 63% mentioned Volkswagen. Who would you have said?
I don't know, David. First of all, I find it deeply troubling.
Yeah.
Volkswagen's a very good car. It deserves far more than 63%.
That wouldn't be the first German car I'd even think of.
It's amazing that they've had
that
so much greatness.
Actually, come number four behind BMW, Mercedes, Audi. Then I'd get to Volkswagen.
I can't believe Adolf Hitler's still like. I mean, they've had Jermaine Jones. Yeah. They've had Fabian Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
They've had Timmy Chandler since. Lots of stuff to talk about in Germany.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I probably would have gone Nena.
Yeah. 99 Luftballon.
I probably might have gone Schweini.
Ah, Schweini.
Dad bod.
Vaterkörper.
Oh, I would have gone Goebbels.
Yeah. Also a Vaterkörper. interesting. I now think, ever since we met him last summer's World Cup, Rog, I'd always go Ballack.
You can't go wrong with Ballack, David.
It's dark.
Counter that German news story.
Yeah.
With a beautiful English story sent to us by @StivadDeKevitt, who said, is this the most British news story of all time?
Yes, the BBC reports an elderly man who accidentally drove into a lake, sat in his car, calmly smoking his pipe as he waited to be rescued by the emergency services. Rog.
I bet he was a Spurs fan.
The truth is, and we'll talk about the football, and I will be suitably unhappy.
Will you be honest?
Unhappy.
Will you be honest?
I'm totally honest. Always,
will
Rog.
Will you give
always.
Me emotional? Will you bring the emotional honesty?
I will bring the emotional honesty. It's not all going to be sadness, Rog, but I will bring the emotional
honesty.
Because
this is going to be less podcast for you, it's going to be regression therapy.
No, it's really not. I did have a properly fantastic weekend, Rog. I know you don't like talking about my golf game.
No, you couldn't.
But I eagled the 18th at my home club. Let's just say I'm not going to get into too many details, but it's from way over 100 yards. Put it into the hole. And you sometimes, I have put the ball into a hole. I've never had a hole in one, but I've hit the ball into the hole from a very long way before, but never with a perfect strike. Like you hit one not that well and you scull it, you hit it thin, you hit it fat and it goes into the hole. This was a perfectly struck golf ball, uphill, 120, 125 yards. It bounced, checked, span back, went into the hole, gave me an eagle on 18, plus one for the back nine. My best nine ever.
You know what's amazing about this story? You know what's amazing about this? Yeah. You left the house. You got off the couch. You dug deep and had the energy to dress.
Yeah, during Arsenal Palace.
Show yourself.
Yeah.
Walk out that door.
No, it was on Sunday morning before Chelsea City, Rog. So I was flying as high as a kite. Then I had my daughter JJ's 11th birthday party, the tallest water slide in the Hamptons, had to supervise that. I had a great Sunday, had a fantastic day. Yes, terrible result for my beloved Chelsea Football Club.
This makes no sense. This is not about you.
Chelsea in crisis. As you said, John Terry, his career at Chelsea is over, Rog, and we pinpointed the exact moment last night. But I had a pretty fantastic
life. Life doesn't work like that, David. Let me just tell you very seriously, you cannot compensate. But even if, what's better than an eagle?
An albatross.
If you'd hit 18 albatrosses, if I had gone on a golf course.
I'm never going to hit an albatross.
Even if I had gone on a golf course and hit 18 albatrosses, and my team had lost 3-0 against their great rival, if Everton had lost to Liverpool 3-0,
and
I went on a golf course, which I would never do, I would never set
foot. Speaks a man who doesn't play golf.
Never set foot on a golf course if my team had lost.
Yeah.
And then I hit 18 albatrosses, I'd still feel like darkness. I'd still feel like there was just no hope. I'd still feel like there was barely any oxygen in my lungs and everything about life was a futile pursuit, Dave.
I give you this.
There's no comment that you cannot compensate for failure.
I do give you this, that it's not as good as a hole-in-one on a par three, which is also an eagle, and I've not had a hole-in-one. But I got to tell you, it was a pretty great feeling. I still feel good about it. Anyway, robots, Rog, the other thing giving me enormous pleasure. I've been
watching
this video.
If you had crushed your testicles in a wood, in a vice,
yeah,
and then you went and played golf that day and got an albatross, would you say it was a good weekend?
I doubt I would have got an albatross. If I'd crushed my testicles in a vice, my guess is my swing thought, my swing, my tempo wouldn't have been so good.
That's what the pain of...
I would have probably missed a 2-inch putt. Rog, Google's new terrifying humanoid robot. Yeah. Please go online and go and look at it. It's got me a little bit
worried. Is that how they're marketing it? Google's terrifying humanoid robot?
No, but it's how the Daily Mail are reporting it, Rog. Fantastic footage of Google. They own a company called Boston Dynamics. They've continued to develop this new robot. I've been following it for a while. You know, the criticism of their robots is that, okay, they're okay on level land, but they can't move across terrain. They wouldn't be able to handle the diagonally cut plaid pitch.
They're a bit like Permutasaki.
Yeah, a little bit like Gabrielle Obertan. But they've got new tests of this robot, and they're starting to move like a substandard Premier League defender, Rog. And it has me worried during the transfer window. What I started to think about is, how far are we away from having robots in the English Premier League? Or at least players with robotic parts.
How do you think Joe Shelvey, the only way to explain his form this season is that he has, over the course of the off-season, had some of his parts, maybe his down belows, maybe his up top, some of them, replaced.
That's interesting, because I have a feeling that Joe Shelvey is not actually English. I think that we might find out that underneath this all, his real name is Joe Shelvio, or Shelvey, with an I on the end. And he's actually Italian.
If he was, he'd be the greatest player in Europe. He was phenomenal. Yeah, it's only because he's English, we do not respect him. Can I tell you the thing I admire about Google's robots? At least they're honest that their goal with this whole robot program, we laugh at it to begin with.
you did tell me that this is going to be bad for the Jews.
It is going to be bad for them. We always get blamed for this crap. They are going to rise up and destroy us. We're giggling at their YouTube videos now as they kind of, you've got to watch this video. It's like this bizarre robot awkwardly, like, very tentatively going over rocky terrain.
However, when one becomes available, I might look for one at my football club.
Could replace me.
This is how the US, we know that the US are going to win the World Cup. This is how they could shortchain Google, American company, Boston Dynamics, American company. Klinsmann might get the first robot to play in the US men's national team. All I'm saying, Rog.
Michael Bradley.
We've got a packed show. We're going to discuss Manchester City's 3-0 demolition, Rog, of Chelsea at the Etihad.
Say that again.
Demolition at the Etihad and the ongoing
so sweet
Eva
is the poetry
Canero soap opera. Arsenal's emergence from the relegation zone thanks to a win at Palace and LVG's 6-point start to the season at United. Plus, the US Women's National Team victory tour and the world waits for Stevie G and Frank Lampard's upcoming MLS showdown.
Stevie G,
showdown.
Oh, Dave.
Okay, to the football, Rog. Let's crack open the Guinness. Give it a good tap there, Rog.
Oh, to Eva Canera.
Cheers, Rog.
Another bloke.
Yeah, John Fearn. So I'm more worried about John Fearn, frankly, Rogers. Nobody's been terribly ignored in this whole thing. Okay, we are now 2/38 of the way through the Premier League season, Rog. That does reduce to 1/19. And after an atypical weekend that saw the defending champs dismantled, an Everton wore green, I think that's being generous. The colour green might sue for that, Rog. We take solace in the knowledge that some things, like Spursiness, remain a constant. Let's start right in, Rog. The Cheshire Cat smile is on your face. Manchester City 3, Chelsea 0. Manuel Pellegrini's team run rampant, Rog, handing out a bare-bottom spanking and testicle-crushing advice of the defending champions. Their second straight 3-0 win to start the season. Argentine striker Sergio Aguero started the scoring in the 31st minute. Could have done after 25 seconds, Rog. Sliding the ball past Asmir Begovic in the Chelsea goal. A Vincent Kompany header and Fernandinho blast finished off the defending champs and left Jose Mourinho crying. It is a fake result. Yet still winless, Chelsea after two games.
Oh,
Rogelio, over to you.
What a game. Not about me, David.
Yeah.
I'd say I've rarely seen a whole game more like 90 minutes of an almost fight. It was a simmering performance.
Mm-hmm.
We should talk before we get into the game about the pre-game, because it was just a curious, kind of off-kilter, wobbly build-up into this. All the pre-game talk.
Yeah.
Was about Dr. Canero, medicine woman.
Absolutely. It was. Dr. Canero, of course, and her assistant, John Fearn, who's barely been mentioned in this whole thing, were consigned to the, God knows where, Rog, where they were watching the game. They certainly weren't on the Chelsea bench after they ran on the field against Jose Mourinho's wishes, but obviously according to the wishes of the referee and Eden Hazard, who called them onto the field during the late stages of Chelsea's draw with Swansea City the previous weekend.
I mean, it was a very odd tantrum afterwards that game from Jose Mourinho, perhaps trying to send Diego Costa a message to get on with things and stop messing around with his hamstrings.
Mm-hmm.
But then Canero up the ante with a Facebook page post thanking the general public for their overwhelming support. Mourinho,
which is probably what got her suspended.
I mean, Mourinho, football management's built on the perception of total control. Mourinho's leadership.
Mourinho.
Yeah, loyalty and trust.
Yeah.
Loyalty and trust. But he underestimated Carnero's prestige. I mean, the whole thing devolved quickly into a tabloid soap opera. One of the things I find most fascinating about this, almost none of the English papers care about John Fearn, number one.
No, it's barely been mentioned.
Yeah.
And by the way, if this were, look, can I just say on that, Rog, if this were any, and I'm not excusing Jose Mourinho for this, he should have known better. This was a crazy thing to get into this week. But there is not another manager nor another team doctor in the Premier League where this would be a story if this had happened.
Everton, Roberto Martinez had a protracted disagreement and then removed his medical staff. It was a small story.
Yeah.
This being Eva, kind of an iconic figure on the bench. I think it's probably surprised Mourinho, the reaction.
Totally.
Who even knew before this week there was such a thing as the Premier League doctors group, Dave?
Yeah. They didn't even know they had a group. They were as shocked as anyone.
The whole thing led to a slapstick, and not in a good way,
pre-game
Mourinho press conference that he almost walked out of and then came back to his chair and chastised the journalists, saying, the ones that like football, please stay. The ones that don't, go, or don't ask questions. I think he has underestimated who he was taking on in kind of this iconic figure, Eva. It's like we joked on the show, when you come at the Queen, you best not miss. And it's odd to see Jose Mourinho so defensive, almost wounded, Davo. And meanwhile, the English gutter press outlet, The Sun, I can barely mention their name, it's one of the most despicable media outlets in the Western world, have gone and dredged over the weekend through Eva Canera's alleged sex life and completely fabricated stories. that make me despair. They are so anti-woman. They are so scurrilous. They are so shaming. And I think I feel shame for everyone who contributed to and salivated over a completely fake story. Show me a physio who's not slept with their players, Davo, and I'll show you a liar.
Wow. John Lewin, potentially. Who knows? So, Rog, no way am I going to excuse what Jose Mourinho did. He should have just avoided. The question was asked of him in the post-match step and repeat. They asked him, the journalist asked him what happened. He answered the question. He didn't name Dr. Eva. He didn't name John Fearn. He talked about his medical team. Obviously, the cameras picked up what he was swearing at them and shouting at them on the sideline. Once that had happened, it would have been so easy just to say, this is an internal club matter and I'm not going to answer that question. I don't understand why he wanted that to become a story. Having said that, I'm just not sure, though it's so easy now to make the narrative, Chelsea's problem started because they were so distracted by this and this is what led into this whole thing. How can this team be so distracted going into the game? I think that Chelsea's problems are football related right now. It's not about this.
Well, we'll get into them. Yeah. But before we do, the last thing I'll say on this is, and I'm speaking just world, to world.
Yeah.
Who do you replace Canero and Firm with?
Yeah.
A ginger and a bald. We always get the worst jobs, David. Society's patsies. Why are we perpetually the ultimate victims, doomed to fail? I'll just say hashtag stop scapegoating bald. Hashtag we stand with gingers.
Yeah.
I say come to the game. Returning to football, it was actually a relief, David.
Mm-hmm.
Diego Costa started again.
Yeah.
More lethally and more impactfully, so did Kun Aguero, 25 seconds in.
Yeah, well, Diego Costa was actually Chelsea's best player on the day, which is saying something. Kun Aguero, 25 seconds in, gets the ball, Rog. Similar to the way that Community Shield started, where Arsenal just attacked them from the opening whistle. He gets the ball, fantastic ball in from David Silva. It seems that, you know, especially afterwards in his comments, this is what Chelsea had been working on preventing all week in training. And yet within 25 seconds, the entire game plan has fallen apart. Aguero just, takes apart Chelsea's central defence. Thank God Begovic saved that. It could have been 7-0.
I mean, the game quickly devolved into one-on-one between Kun Aguero and Begovic. Several times he was played through.
Yeah.
He was so unplayable. I was praying we'd get to hear Tim Howard say that Azimir Begovic is having a Tim Howard against Belgium kind of game.
He did.
And he'd dress himself like the Queen and Adolf Hitler in the third person.
Yeah.
But Chelsea, I mean, they came out to soak up City and try and sneak something off a set piece. But the problem is, John Terry is not what John Terry was. Matic is not what Matic was. And Cahill is what Cahill always is. Mm-hmm. At PT Movie Guy tweeted us and said, Chelsea in this game are dodging more bullets than the bad guys in an A-team episode. But what was it like for you to watch those first 30 minutes when there's still 0-0, but your team were getting pelted in a way we're not used to seeing Chelsea
get without a doubt. Well, look, this does... lots of people thought I was insane and I was only doing this to protect myself when I said that Chelsea would finish outside the top four this season. But frankly, this was from watching the way they did actually play in the second half of last season, watching how they performed in pre-season, and just looking at the body language and the chemistry of this team. This team has problems all over the park, certainly creativity in midfield, in finishing, with injuries, and in defence, they are just very, very, very slow. They frankly have relied on Matic being brilliant in front of them. Matic was not brilliant in this game. He was not brilliant in the game. I don't think Matic's career is over. I don't think this is a player in terminal decline. Every player is entitled to not a great game. But Chelsea's problem with very little speed on the flanks and no speed in the centre of defence means that against good teams, they can fall apart. But the biggest thing for me, and this is a theme we will return to with Chelsea, is that even when Chelsea went 1-0 down, what we have said about Chelsea for a long time is there is a team that is mentally tough, mentally strong, will get back into the game. The fact is that Chelsea showed for the first time, I would say in seasons, a lack of mental toughness. That's the most alarming thing about this.
Well, Vincent Kompany talked after the game about how Manuel Pellegrini had outthought Jose Mourinho by, quote, laying traps all over the pitch.
Yeah.
He said, I've never felt as prepared for a game as I did for this one.
Yeah.
He said, that may be the advantage of only playing one match a week at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, what Kompany said reminded me of the conversation we'd heard before the last NBA season tipped off. Did a live show for the launch of EA FIFA 15 with Joachim Noah and Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Love had just signed for the Cavs. Noah told him when they shook hands, he said how much the Bulls were looking forward to playing LeBron and Co.
Yeah.
Kevin Love laughed and said, I got no idea when we're playing. And Noah just coldly named the first two dates when the Cavs and the Bulls were going head to head.
Yeah.
He said, I've had them ringed in my book and I've thought about little else all summer. Watching this game, you got the feeling Chelsea kind of Kevin Loved it into this game.
Mm-hmm.
But City's players have spent their summer thinking about this 90 minutes and little else.
Yeah. Of course, the only difference is Cleveland ended up going to the NBA Finals, Rog, and I don't think we're going to see Chelsea in the top two by the end of the season. Yeah, but they were mentally not prepared. And a lot of these are the problems that City, frankly, have had.
Whenever they've had to defend the championship.
Absolutely. It's very, very tough to play a lot of the what Martinez has said about Everton last season. They believed they were going to be so good and they came out there. I think Chelsea have taken it for granted. Chelsea haven't made the moves in the transfer window, of course. Raman has just, that deal's just been done. As of recording this pod, there's no other move that Chelsea have made. The offer for John Stones has still not been accepted or rejected,
holding out for
or has been hostage by Man United.
We're holding out for 100 million.
Yeah, so they, Abramovich might pay
there's
that
a lot
right
of
now.
People have said 100 million plus Eva Canary.
Yeah, exactly. We might have to give you John Terry on the way out though, Rog. That would just be amazing. So a lot of those problems, it's tough to go
that
and defend
would be
a championship.
For me the great ethical dilemma of my lifetime.
Yeah, but this was
John
City.
Terry became an Evertonian.
Let's not forget, just in the same way that Swansea's performance week one was overshadowed by the Eva story, let's not forget just how well Manchester City played in this game. They played fantastic football. They won't be this good every week, but this was spectacular football.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first goal was spectacular. Kun Aguero breaking through on the fourth attempt. Five Chelsea defenders surrounded him, but he still loved his chances. It was like watching Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid jump out and take on the whole Bolivian army. John Terry splayed on the floor. That should count for two goals. FA, if you're listening, change that rule. The game became a grinding physical battle. Begovic gave Gary Cahill a punch in the face, Geno Smith style. Mm. Diego Costa was assaulted by Fernandinho's elbow.
Mm-hmm. You're allowed to do that to Diego Costa.
The first time the Chelsea physios ran out, City fans chanted, you're getting sacked in the morning. Hashtag modern football. And then the hauling off of John Terry, Davo. At halftime, the public humiliation of a man who played every single minute for Chelsea in the league last season, mm-hmm. hadn't been substituted in 177 games, first time Jose Mourinho had ever pulled him off in a Premier League match. This is how messages are sent in modern football. There's two ways to send a message. You can either do a shocking George R.R. Martin kind of substitution, or you can fly a plane over a stadium pulling a message. Those are the only two ways, Davo. And they lost in Terry, not just a central defender.
Yeah.
But they lost a leader.
Yeah.
I think they lost their accountability. To me, what was stupefying about this performance
mm-hmm.
was how little Chelsea seemed to care in defeat.
Yeah.
The scoreline was un-Chelsea.
Yeah.
But the fact that the players didn't really
That's
seem to
saying.
Care
it wasn't
was the most shocking thing
It was
of all.
Not the mental toughness you've come to expect from this team. That's the thing that you wouldn't expect to lose. Look, without a doubt, the John Terry story is huge. The image is huge. It is a statement. But even perhaps larger than that is the stories that are emerging in the British press, Rog, that all week, Jose Mourinho did not have John Terry in the first 11, that he was going to play Zouma and Cahill all week, and at the last minute he had a change of heart, very un-Jose Mourinho, and decided to go and play John Terry in central defence.
Yeah, I mean, taking him off made a difference briefly.
Yeah.
You had a chance, Hazard and Costa combined, to create a chance I believe they would have buried easily.
Yeah.
Last season, Yokohama Tyres are the real victim in all of this, Davo.
Without a doubt.
But Chelsea then just became a bullied, frustrated and syncopated, heavy-legged. Whereas last season there was surplus power and a deep well of confidence. Now Ivanovic seems to kind of be battle-weary. Terry's lost the fountain of youth powers he drank from for the entirety of last season. Cesc, Diego Costa, they seem in late season rather than early season form.
Mm-hmm.
Matic, Mortal, Ramirez, William, Oscar, Azpilicueta appear ordinary.
We should say, and what? I'm sure you're going to enjoy Ramirez's offside goal, but that's a goal I've watched that like 20 times now. I can't tell you whether it was offside or not, to be honest. I don't think the angle was there to go and tell you.
What worries you the most, though? Is it Hazard?
Yeah.
I think he had no take-ons in the first half. Seemed to be disinterested. Cesc, not a force.
By
or
the way,
Diego Costa fighting himself rather than the opponents.
Let's leave Diego Costa to one side. Cesc and Hazard, 2 weeks in a row, they have seemed just out of it. It's particularly Eden Hazard. I actually thought that Costa put in a shift. That's sort of what you want from Diego Costa. He put in a shift. He didn't get some great service. It was a fantastic turn and pass.
Cesc
he put
assist,
through to Eden Hazard.
But it was to Fernandinho for the third.
Yeah, without a doubt.
What worries you more, though, of those three? Watching Hazard.
Yeah.
I mean, we were told he was Ronaldo level 3 weeks ago by Mourinho. He's looking anything but Cesc. It's late season Cesc, fallen away Cesc.
Yeah. Neither of those would be my top two, or even the Diego Costa. My number one thing with Chelsea, what their championships have been built on, are on defending. That would be my biggest concern with Chelsea.
Until
Chelsea can start defending. A set-piece goal from a corner, Ivanovic abused like a child. You just haven't seen that as a Chelsea
defender. It was a token gesture at defending by him. I mean, this is a Chelsea defence, which is normally better organised than Donald Trump's bangs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, City then trolled Chelsea at full-time by playing madness.
Yeah.
One step beyond Chelsea's tune of victory. I'll say when that third goal went in, Davey, I mean, it was a backbreaker. Watching, I started to feel odd feelings while watching Chelsea that I've never had before.
Yeah.
Pity.
Yeah.
They were so hapless. They were so bedraggled. They were so defenseless.
Mm-hmm.
They reminded me of me. My empathy, I just automatically kicked in. I kept telling myself to override the sympathy default that I have, Davey. I was able to do it when Joffrey choked on the pipe.
Uh-huh.
But I couldn't do it. I felt sorry for Chelsea football.
I know that feeling well. I feel it about watching.
It's the most patronising thing I've ever said.
I just said it's something more patronising. Yes, it was a very un-Chelsea performance. We've seen their players play badly. We've seen Chelsea perform badly. We've not seen them lose 3-0. You would think, Rog, that Jose Mourinho's reaction in the post-match press conference, instead of making this a fake result, I hate that. I hate it when all managers and all fans say, oh, you know what, the scoreline did not reflect the game. The game actually is based on putting the ball in the back of the net, stopping the ball going into your net. The scoreline actually is the one thing that completely accurately reflects what the game
was. When Mourinho said
was.
It was fake, he sounded about as honest as Scott Walker when he briefed the press. That his ball patcher was the result of having bumped his head while, quote, fixing a sink years ago and not natural aging. It's, none of
he's
us are bald.
Anti-bald.
None of us are bald, guys. None of us. Whenever you look at a bald man, just think of someone who's bumped his head while fixing a sink.
Just wore a hat way too much. Wore a hat way too much in my teens.
So it was an illusion for Mourinho. It was an untruth. It was a myth. Whatever. It's Chelsea's most feeble start to a campaign since 1998, which predates
longer.
The Abramovich era.
Yeah.
Perhaps more worrying, Mourinho's hallmark is a ruthlessly efficient start to the season.
Yeah.
So you have to think, what's going on, Dave? I mean, I know from spending time with him, his father is sick.
Yeah.
It's not being talked about too much.
Mm-hmm.
But Mourinho is human, and the sickness of a loved one impacts the way anyone with a heart goes about their life.
Yeah.
But
these things aren't black and white, though, Rog. They're grey. And things also, there are a lot of things going on which combine to go and do this. Ivanovic, in a very unhappy with his current situation of his contract. His contract is up at the end of the year. He wants an extension. He wants to be paid a lot more money.
Just get a buzz cut, mate.
The ageing of John Terry. Eden Hazard feeling pressure with all of the hype around him to go and actually step up and be one of the best players in the world to go and do it. Diego Costa's hamstring problems. Fabregas, you know, trying to regain the form that he showed not only in his previous stints at Arsenal and at Barcelona, but also early season last year at Chelsea. I think it's a number of factors. I just think right now, Chelsea just need more games.
Write them off at your peril.
Yeah.
I mean, Jose Mourinho is a man who loves a siege mentality. He loves us against them. The them has rarely been more vociferous. Let's see what occurs this weekend against West Brom. If I was a Chelsea fan, I would be a bit worried. There's two gears for Jose Mourinho, who just has two. One is winning, invincible, campaigning. The second is destroying everything that's around him. And I mean, this is going to be an interesting piece of narrative, seeing if the gears may have shifted into that second gear. Part of me is a bit worried, David.
I would like him to find a third gear, Rog, which, and I think I speak on behalf of a lot of Chelsea fans, is that we would like to see more experimentation with lineup, with strategy, with tactics, with how we go and play this game. Let's let's go and give some of the young players a chance.
Part of me is a bit worried, David.
Yeah.
I might be responsible for Jose's destruction.
Well, you do have a curse that you put on a lot of people and teams, Rog.
You told me this yesterday.
Yeah.
You made me go through a list of who I've been with in the past 6 months.
Bournemouth.
I spent time with Jose last month in Montreal. He's now struggling.
Yeah.
You laughed when you remembered that.
Yeah.
You told me everything I touch, I destroy.
Yeah, you're like the opposite of Midas. Sadim, as I called you.
Southampton.
Yeah.
Struggling.
Yeah. Bournemouth.
Struggling. Everton. Brad Guzan.
You haven't spent a lot of time with Everton recently, though.
I think I'm a serial killer, David. It's the only logical conclusion.
It's a chance.
To cap on Chelsea, Daniel Taylor, one of my favourite football writers, quipped in today's Guardian. He said, here's a strange fact. Mourinho's last six league defeats have come against managers whose surnames begin with a P.
Yeah.
Pulis, Poyet, Pardew, Pochettino, Pulis again, and Pellegrini.
Yeah.
His next two games against Pulis and Pardew.
Wow. Not good news. Look, these have been Chelsea, poor Chelsea results against two very, very good teams. Let's not forget how well Swansea played, how well Manchester City played in that game. We said before the season started that this was going to be a season where a lot of people are going to get bloody noses during the season. A lot of teams are going to beat a lot of other teams. And frankly, I've seen nothing in the first 2 weeks of the season that is making me feel any different about what's going to happen this season.
Man City were terrific. They've got so many ways to hurt you.
Superb.
David Silva, Yaya Toure, Kun Aguero. If they want someone to blaze
the ball
62 yards over the bar, they've got Raheem Sterling.
Yeah.
Got it all.
I think Sterling looks good though, Rog. I disagree with you on that. I think he looks very good. I think he's going to be useful for that team. Okay, Rog, moving on. It got even worse for Chelsea, Rog. Crystal Palace 1, Arsenal 2. Arsenal rebound from an opening weekend loss and defeat a dangerous-looking Palace side at Selhurst Park. 12 minutes after Arsenal took the lead, behind a spectacular overhead kick from Olivier Giroud, Joel Ward's well-placed daisy cutter found its way past Petacek. But in the 55th minute, Damien Delaney steered an Alexis Sanchez header. How did he get up so high, Rog, into his own net, giving Arsenal its first 3 points of the campaign? I watched this game late on Sunday night, Rog. This was a fantastic game of football.
You don't so much as watch Arsenal games this season, David. Yeah. You rubberneck them.
Yeah.
And this was, I mean, this was it was gladiatorial at the beginning. What an atmosphere at Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
The cheerleaders, the crystals.
Yeah.
Kayla the Eagle.
Yes.
The song Glad All Over.
Yeah.
The tightest tunnel in football.
Oh.
The tiny stadium.
It's tight and also very low, Rog. It's not built for like, you know, in South London, a lot of people are very challenged in terms of their height and girth and what they look like. And it was certainly built for South Londoners.
In the Middle Ages, people were a foot shorter than they are now. And I think it's still true for South London.
Most of them were in South London.
But it was amazing. If you haven't seen it, the Crystal Palace tunnel looks like they're entering the stadium from a back office kind of corridor at Dunder Mifflin. Mm-hmm. And they enter this stadium. It's a tiny cauldron. It's like Boise State without the blue turf. The place is bonkers. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I mean, they are building a distinctive culture around the Premier League minnow, essentially, which is a unique advantage of marking out your terrain in the way they've done. This one, it wasn't just a football battle. We talked about it on the show last night. It was nipple wars. Mm-hmm. At DMace5 said, the Arsenal kit looks like something men in blazers would wear to distract from their baldness. It wouldn't work, but valiant effort. Nonetheless, I'll tell you who wears it well, Davo. Olivier Giroud. Those frosted tips this season. He looks like Guy Fieri.
And it is such... The atmosphere at Selhurst Park is not conducive to playing attractive football. I don't know why, but it's just very, very tough. It's a hothouse, Rog. It's a cauldron. And very few teams go there and express themselves very well as Premier League teams. I've got to hand it to Arsenal. They went there to go and play beautiful football. And that first goal from Olivier Giroud, Rog.
He went all Juliette Binoche on that ball.
Beautiful.
And he giggled as he contemplated the eternal life riddle. Mm-hmm. That as beautiful as the goal was, it was only half as beautiful as his own face. Mm-hmm. Chants from the Arsenal fans immediately.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest of them all? Whatever that is in French.
Oh, if he asked the miroir, he'd be annoyed with the answer. It's clearly Paul Pogba. Mm-hmm.
But I think miroir plays for one of the Arsenal youth teams. I don't know which one. It's classy young right-sided midfielder from Lens, I believe.
Does he have a US Army dad?
Yeah, we'll see.
As soon as Arsenal scored, there were chants from the Arsenal faithful. We are staying up. We are staying up. They bellowed around the away end, but not so fast.
Yeah.
Though Palace at the outset, bit sloppy in possession, bit careless with the ball. They never forgot Arsenal's one weakness, saving shots that were directly on goal. And my Lord, Joel Ward, he made a mistake to set up Giroud.
Yeah.
But boy, he redeemed himself. Koscielny gave him an inch and he took a mile. Oh, such a sweet drive into that corner.
He didn't hit it that hard, Rog. And it wasn't that far to the right of Petr Cech.
What are you saying? That he did an old man's dive?
I'm saying...
The kind of dive with arm extension that you do to cushion your fall rather than save a football.
I'm saying not... We didn't.
Is that what you're saying?
We both talked about this, that not a lot of people made this point, but that was another slightly dodgy piece of keeping from Petr Cech.
You know what? Koscielny just watched, did not try and shut down, just watched and blocked Petr Cech's view.
Well, that's
and
it was happen again.
It was beautifully, beautifully placed in the corner. Mm-hmm. Not the greatest dive I've ever seen. But yeah, I think he gets a pass on that one. It was 1-1 at half time.
Yeah.
A different shade of Arsenal-y. This was not this completely self-sabotaging Arsenal of the week before. They had so much of the ball. They had so many chances. They created so much. Ozil was fantastic. 5 chances he created, but they were careless in the final third. Mm-hmm. They could have crushed the opposition. They didn't. Sanchez could have had a hat-trick. And in the second half, Jason Puncheon, Wilfred Zaha, Yannick Bolasie began to cause trouble. Conor Wickham came alive, clipping one off the bar. Got to say, sad to praise a player for this. But Wilfred Zaha, credit him, he never goes theatrically down. He never plays for penalties when he actually unbelievably easily could do. Arsenal just
By the way, we should also give credit. Hazard did the same thing for Chelsea against City. Rog, it's 2 players who could easily have gone down on the challenge, probably would have got penalties and didn't do it. I like seeing that.
Arsenal... Another team, like Chelsea against City, who appear weak at their core. Where have we heard that before? I mean, the game suggests Coquelin may not be Patrick Vieira reincarnated after all. Per Mertesacker, a beautiful bloke, but groaningly slow and a real liability. They eventually got the winner, Davo, the own goal. Out of the relegation zone once more. Hashtag title race back on.
Yeah, very much so. A difficult place to go and get a win. A lot of teams... We'll go to Selhurst Park and do much worse this season. I think that's a very, very good and impressive result from Arsenal. Their title to lose once again, Rog. Aston Villa 0, Manchester United 1. That game was played Friday night, Rog, because of a political rally near Birmingham Saturday. Adnan Januzaj marked his return to United starting 11. Sort of a shock inclusion, Rog, with his first league goal since April 2014. United begin the season with 2 wins that were pragmatic, if not always pretty.
Oh, Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
It was a plodding affair. Mm-hmm. As Coach Taylor would say, my dad used to say, it always looks bad before it gets better.
Yeah.
Which pretty well sums up Manchester United right now. Mm-hmm. There's going to be 10 Friday Night games next season under the terms of the new television deal. Mm-hmm. This one, as you mentioned, that was brought about by circumstance.
Yeah.
The police couldn't be present for a Saturday fixture because they had to go and oversee a planned fascist march near Birmingham. Well done, Europe.
Yeah.
Januzaj was the surprise selection. Even more surprising, he played centrally. Mm-hmm. Perhaps an attempt to garner some speed and the direct play that was missing against Spurs. Mm-hmm. Top goal scorer Kyle Walker didn't make the lineup though.
Yeah.
Villa were robust at the beginning.
Yeah.
Player possession, they rotated the ball around. Mm-hmm. United, confident in their back four, just tried to soak things up and counter to Mata and Memphis. The longer the game went on, the more United got into it. Aston Villa's football became about as flimsy as Gabia Banglahore's moustache. And then Januzaj.
Yeah. Definitely. What a goal, Rog. Fantastic little jink in the area. Wrong foot's Michael Richards puts him on his bottom. Rog jinks in. A little fortunate with the deflection.
Hashtag pray for Guzan.
Yeah. And 1-0 to United.
Oh,
and
it's like watching Matt Saracen recreate his greatest moment when he proposed to Julie Taylor at the Alamo Freeze.
I cried.
Odd thing about the goal, though, Dave.
Yeah.
United didn't take the upper hand. Uh-huh. They just sat back. Allowed Villa to come onto them.
Yeah.
Villa, their courage, their triangle passing.
Yeah.
It was always undermined by a used decision-making and the Benteke-sized hole up front.
Yeah.
But in this game, Benteke's absence was almost as impactful as Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
Difference being...
Rooney was playing.
Yeah. 8 games now without scoring in the league.
Yeah.
For United's primary striker.
Yeah.
And in this game, he had just 1 touch inside Villa's penalty area and it didn't come until the 93rd minute. Mm-hmm. 3 shots on target for United in their 2 games. Mm-hmm. Rooney looked pretty MLS-y. Mm-hmm. But the good news, United's defence, 2 clean sheets. That's without De Gea.
Yeah.
Blint and Smalling were excellent, I thought,
together. Yeah, agreed. Totally agreed.
I've got to say, Blint, sort your hair out. It's gone from bad to worse.
Yeah.
It's hard to go from a man bun in the first game to worse in the second game, but you managed it.
Yeah.
If you take a photo of Taylor Kitsch into your local Supercuts, make it a Friday Night Lights Taylor Kitsch.
Yeah.
And not a bloody True Detective 2-1.
It's interesting. You're right. Their defence looking so strong. You know, we both talked last week about who would you rather be, Man United or Chelsea, after Man United won and Chelsea had the draw. And we both sort of agreed you'd rather be Chelsea rather than United. I think you're right. Only 3 shots in goal through 2 games. But the strength of United's defence is what's going to make them a much better Premier League side this year. And I would frankly love to see that at Chelsea.
2 games, 2 crap goals,
yeah.
6 points, 2 Daily Blint haircuts, top of the table, your 2015-16 Manchester United.
Yeah.
I mean, the team, they may need time to gel. Say, judge them in late October, early November. But right now, their stats are very vintage Chelsea. And I say that in a, I say that with awe.
Positive light, yeah, without a doubt.
By the way, Friday night football GFOPs. We asked whether people liked the Friday afternoon game.
Yeah.
I think it was a 50-50 split as to whether it was a wonderful bonus or a challenge because people were stuck at work. At Burdoop tweeted us, it's a wonderful bonus because I'm trapped at work.
Yeah.
but there's so many Americans who found it odd to watch football while not in their pyjamas, drinking Guinness and having not actually showered.
Oh, I'm pro the Friday night game. The idea of having Premier League football 4 days a week, the majority of the days of the week, Rog, 4/7 of the day of the week. I like that.
Only reason I don't like it on a Friday.
Yeah.
See, I feel sorry for Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday.
Without a doubt. We should say, although there are sometimes games on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, Rog, Liverpool 1, Bournemouth 0. Christian Benteke opens his Anfield account by poking home a Jordan Henderson cross in the 26th minute. But like United, Liverpool have started the season with 2 1-0 wins, and yet some questions still linger.
First and most importantly about this game.
Yeah.
Brendan Rodgers.
Uh-huh.
Those lips.
Yeah, what's going on there?
We're a bit worried,
but it's
we?
Not just his lips. It's the entire shininess of his skin, Rog. Yeah. He's sweating. He's moist. He's moist. Let's just say he's damp at this point.
Like the people that live on the Upper East Side, he looks well moisturised.
Yeah.
His whole face looks like a bloke who's been embalmed while he's still actually alive.
It looks like you could wring it out like a sponge and water would come out.
If any of you are dermatologists or plastic surgeons, can you just email us about this? Because we're truly, truly fascinated, particularly around the lip area.
I'm worried about that thing on his lip.
To the football.
Yeah.
Bournemouth, oh, up the cherries.
Yes.
Emboldened for Max Gradle and Matt Ritchie, fearless on the flanks.
Oh, he looked good.
Could have gone ahead. Tommy Elphick, wonderful bloke who traditionally fires himself up by headbutting the goalpost several times before the game kicks off. He's the captain.
Nothing wrong with that.
He put his motivational technique to good use, heading over Dejan Lovren, but pushing him off at the same time. It was a close call. I'd say I've seen them given both ways on that one.
Yeah.
But the savage hazing of the new boys, life in the Premier League is cruel, nasty, brutish and short for many of those that have come up from the Championship.
Yeah.
And Bournemouth realise it's only just beginning. Their goal was taken away and then Liverpool were allowed to score it in a way which clearly broke David. Oh, the league's new offside rule.
Yeah. Not applied. What a shock. And look, one has sympathy with the officials once again. They don't have the benefit of a repeated slow motion replay to get the decisions right.
You didn't really need it for this one.
Yeah.
The new rule, if a player makes a move towards the ball while in an offside position, even if they don't touch it, they will be ruled offside. Yeah. And on this goal, Henderson crossed the ball. Coutinho tried and failed from an offside position to make contact. He missed it probably by an inch. He had the intent. He had proximity to the ball. He had the impact on Bournemouth goalkeeper Buric, who flinched to save, which left Benteke free to arrive from an onside position and slap the ball home. It should have been ruled off. It was given, and it was cruel, Davo. It was cruel. I mean, I say offside apart, massive for Christian Benteke for his confidence. Massive for Jordan Henderson, another assist. Liverpool take 3 points, but God, they toiled at the end. They were holding on for dear life at home, at Anfield, against Bournemouth, which I guess they can derive some pleasure from.
Yeah.
Will they find a way to score, or will they be this year's Burnley is the big question about Bournemouth.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Liverpool there, Rog. Bournemouth, it's going to be difficult. They do have a lot of elements of Burnley written all over them. They play with such heart, just love their manager, love his energy. They're playing attractive football. They've got like new faces in the Premier League, players who we love seeing, players who've come from the lower league. I thought Matt Ritchie was just outstanding in this game, Rog. In many ways, they are the Burnley. I hope they score more goals, particularly early in the season.
Oh, I say Liverpool, perfect 6 points in the table, two goals, two clean sheets, two wins. And if you're a Liverpool fan and you're being super positive, you'll say everything's still with this squad, still to click together.
A very big game against Arsenal, Rog, next Monday. Tottenham 2, Stoke 2. How did this happen? Goals from Eric Dier, the Dier Wolf, and Nasser Chadli put Spurs up 2-0 heading into halftime. But as goes the old adage, 2-0 is the most dangerous lead in football, especially when you're Spurs. The Potters snatched two goals in the game's final 12 minutes, Rog. Heartbreak for Spurs fans. They earned a point.
Oh, hashtag that's so Spursy. The new Netflix miniseries that's vaguely masked retelling of the English Empire's destruction. That's what this game was.
Yeah.
The Dire Wolf, Eric Dier, Mr. August.
Yeah.
He got his meaty Portuguese-English forehead on the ball to open up the scoring.
Yeah.
They went two up. It was cruise control, absolute cruise control. The English novelist Howard Jacobson wrote a beautiful piece about what it's like to be a Spurs fan. He said, whenever they score early in a game at White Hart Lane, the sound of 1,000 Jewish voices can be heard anxiously whispering across the stands, it's too early.
Wow.
They scored too early.
Yep, I know the feeling.
And so it came to be. But this was self-destruction because two substitutions changed the game.
Yep.
The removal of Prince Harry Kane.
Ah, yes, Lord Kane of Chingford, Rog.
Oh, Dave. Taking him off. Just sabotage Spurs' flow. On came for Stoke, Stephen Ireland.
Yeah.
A bald.
Yeah.
A reluctant bald.
Yeah.
Who's kind of a cult figure after playing with a toupee for years, with the talent that's flickered on and off as he's gone club to club. Feels like he's been around forever. He's still only 28.
I don't know. My favourite Stephen Ireland
came on
story
and bossed
ever.
Spurs.
Remember, is when he lied about his grandmother's death in order to get out of going and playing a game for Ireland.
Because he didn't want the Irish players to tease him about his toupee.
So genius.
So he told the team management that he had to leave the camp because his grandmother had died.
Yeah.
They actually paid for a private plane to fly him back to his home. And then find out he actually didn't have any grandmothers that are still alive. That is the plight of a baldness.
Awesome.
That is rock bottom baldness. But he's now a proud bald.
Yeah.
And in this game, he bossed Spurs.
Yeah.
Absolutely came on, changed the game. I think the fact that it was him that destroyed their team probably meant that this draw pained Spurs fans more than their opening day loss.
Yeah.
So, wow, Stoke. What a Premier League story.
Yeah.
Stoke, we should say. How would you describe? Have you been to Stoke?
I have been to Stoke. Yeah.
When
I went to the theme park, Alton Towers, and visited the potteries, Wedgwood, went and saw where they make that fine china.
It's a wasteland.
Is a shithole.
It is. It's a complete... It was once industrially rich in pottery and I believe in China.
Mm-hmm.
It's now a barren collection of rundown towns.
Yeah.
I talked about how when I made the film there a couple of months ago, it was my first trip there, and I got out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And as I got out of the car, I had five ewes just slowly descend towards me like zombies. One was a seven-year-old girl carrying a 4x4 over her shoulder in menacing fashion.
Yeah.
They just walked. One was carrying a brick.
When you say 4x4, you mean a piece of wood. You're not talking about a Jeep.
No, she was carrying a lumber. She could have carried. She was a big girl for a seven-year-old. She could have carried it. It was a piece of lumber. And they just slowly menaced towards me like zombies.
Yeah.
And I quickly moved into the Britannia as quickly as that. It's terrifying. But thanks to the glut of television money in the Premier League, they have stockpiled fantasy footballers, and it continues. Shaqiri has now joined. Boyan to come back from injury. Afolai taking the field alongside probably his dream to play with Jeff Cameron.
Yeah.
It is fascinating. Welcome to the modern Premier League, David.
Yeah, amazing. Sexy, sexy Stoke, Rog. Swansea 2, Newcastle 0. The Swans' stylish start to the season continues after an opening weekend draw with Chelsea. Gary Monk's men defeated the Magpies thanks to goals from Bafétimbi Gomis and Andre Ayew. Again, Rog, is he the good Ayew or the crap Ayew? He's the good one.
He's the great Ayew, David. He's the Ayew that has adapted beautifully to Premier League football. I loved hearing interviews this weekend with his father, the father of both Ayews, Ghana legend Abedi Pele, who starred with Marseille in the 1980s. He said, their success is special to me and all Africans. He must feel like the Ghanaian Archie Manning right now.
Yeah.
it was Bafétimbi that opened the scoring.
Yeah.
But you have to say the season of John Joe Shelvey continues, David.
Unbelievable.
He created that goal. He received the ball after a flurry of one-touch passes. He looked up when he got it and split four defenders.
Shimmied. He just shimmied and jinked, Rog, and changed direction.
It made every single bald in the world hold their shiny craniums up just a little bit higher.
Yeah, and lovers of the Dark Lord as well, Rog.
Seven goals in the last eight Premier League appearances for Gomi.
Mm-hmm.
Montero again revelling on the left, causing problems for right backs and probably Premier League transfer window gossip mongers alike,
yeah.
David.
Mm-hmm.
The rumours are starting to heat up as the transfer window is about to close with a move for him.
Mm-hmm.
But once Newcastle were down to 10 men, he just had a field day to set up IU for the second. Atty Swanee 33 tweeted us to say, Swansea's game plan going forward, let's play against 10 men every weekend.
Yeah, they're good at that. They're very, very good at that, Rog. Although they did play more effectively against Newcastle's 10 men than Chelsea's 10 men. Okay, West Ham 1, Leicester 2, one of the Premier League's most informed sides, headed to Upton Park and took all 3 points off the Irons, Rog. First half goals from Japanese striker Shinji Okazaki and Algeria's Riyad Mahrez give the Foxes their second straight win to start the season. Amazing stuff, Rog. Leicester, who would have thunk it, under Ranieri, top of the league.
A win secured down the left flank. Vardy and Okazaki opened up West Ham for the first.
Mm-hmm.
The goal came 10 minutes after the Leicester faithful had sang Jamie Vardy, he says what he wants, referring to the racist incident, part 27 for Leicester City,
that
where Vardy...
He's alleged to have made at a casino in the off-season, I believe, Rog, to a Japanese gentleman.
Yeah, I shudder to think what Vardy calls Okazaki in the locker room, Davo.
Yeah.
But an Okazaki turn provider for the second, combining with Albrighton to set up Riyad Mahrez, the Ferenc Fox. And for West Ham, the bad news is they can't play Arsenal every week. Even worse, 16-year-old Reece Oxford looked more what he is, a raw 16-year-old.
Yeah.
He was substituted at half-time after looking, understandably, a little off the pace. Leicester City have won 28 Premier League points since April the 1st, more than any other club.
God, what must Nigel Pearson think watching this game and watching Ranieri?
He'll realise he was holding them back.
Yeah, certainly, Rog. Sunderland 1, Norwich 3. New boys Norwich get their first win since re-entry to the top flight. Russell Martin, Stephen Whittaker and Nathan Redmond, Rog, all tallied for the Canaries. Sunderland and Bournemouth are the only teams without a point in the Premier League after two games.
Yeah, you know how you can buy half-season ticket packages?
Yeah.
Sunderland fans should be able to buy half-game season ticket packages so they can actually leave at half-time, which is what so many of them seem to prefer
to
do.
Close, yeah.
Are you watching Ellis Short, they chanted at the American owner. One of the least discussed and more enigmatic American owners. No one really understands what
why
he's doing.
Why he bought Sunderland.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, he's barely invested in the squad this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Many Sunderland fans are boasting that their owner is worse than Mike Ashley of rivals Newcastle,
wow.
A perverse race to the bottom. Perhaps Dick Advocaat's wife was right after all, David.
Yeah, I think she was.
Shouldn't have gone back to Sunderland. Two games in, and he's already saying things like, I can't go on this way. We have to find a solution. One way or the other.
Wow.
It's almost a tradition at Sunderland, Davo.
Mm-hmm.
Starting terribly, Martin O'Neill, Paolo Di Canio, Gus Poyet have all exited early, only for a new hero to fend off last gasp relegation.
That,
maybe they'll bring Josie back as player manager.
That might have been why he stayed, Rog. Because he kind of knew he stays, signs the long-term contract. He's going to get fired after the first six games. Bam. Cash in the bank, Rog. Watford 0, West Brom 0. The Hornets earned their second straight draw in a goalless affair at Vicarage Road. The Baggies, meanwhile, still searching for their first goal of the Premier League season. Southampton, Rog, 0. Everton 3. Let me repeat that for you.
Oh, could you?
Southampton 0. Everton 3.
I don't like to inject myself into this story. Everton have not lost since I got a mini.
It's very, very true. Unfortunately,
Chelsea haven't won either.
Since I got a mini. The Toffees travel to England. If you hate Chelsea, buy a mini. I think that's what we're saying. The Toffees travel to England's south coast and put 3 past Southampton. Wow. Wow. And what a performance. And in those shirts, Rog, on that field.
I don't know what to say, David. Don't know. I mean, I say the game began with fear. A lot of fear for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Roberto Martinez, pre-match comments, he talked about the club having a golden era of talent.
Yeah.
And at the same time, the fan base, so frustrated by season after season of a great club on the periphery that they flew a plane over the stadium demanding the ouster of the board.
I saw that, Rog. And yet,
The team then took to the field, wearing one of the single worst jerseys I had ever seen. A green jersey.
Is it green? Not brown. Look brown.
A green jersey.
Okay.
The worst green since Julian. Kind of jersey.
I thought we liked Julian Green. Julian!
Yeah, Julian!
Yeah, Julian!
Okay. Nonsense is Jurgen.
Okay.
The kind of jersey I hate, Davey.
Yeah.
Because there's no tradition of the colour in the club. It's just pure marketing. Let's do something different this season. All right.
What brand. Brand shirts.
Isn't that a slightly difficult
history with the brown shirts? Oh, no. Never heard of it. Brand shirts.
All right. Oh, Davey, after 22 minutes, though.
Yeah.
When Lukaku scored a magical goal of stunning potency and counter-attacking luster.
Was he good?
I instantly changed my mind and realised just how much I love this shirt, David.
Oh.
I loved it. And that badge that they had 2 years ago that everyone else hated. If we slapped that, the one they all hated and got rid of, onto this green shirt, we might just win the league. I'd say before the game, Davey, amazing story.
Yeah, in the warm-up, Romelu apparently hit a fan with a wayward shot, a female fan. Lovely video, Rog. What does the young man do? Which I would say maybe 0.0001% of Premier League players do. He goes up into the stands, gives her a hug and says sorry. Lovely. Yeah. Really, really heartwarming stuff.
And he then played like a world-class striker.
He should hit a fan in the stands every week, Roger, in the warm-up.
You're not the only one who said that. Roberto Martinez in post-match press conference comments that he probably would like to give a little edit, a little tweak to. He excitedly said, Romelu will have to hit a woman in every game. We get the general drift.
Yeah, exactly.
Everton have become the most predictable team in the English Premier League. One whom everyone had figured out how to play, how to defang, how to tame, how to bring to heel. This was a very different Everton. And Everton playing beautifully, ruthlessly, sharply, whip smart on the counter.
Yeah. I mean,
Stones and Jagielka were absolutely magnificent. The defence was beautiful, solid, without the 1.6 defensive mishaps that they seem to be contractually obliged to make
every
game.
Without Leighton Baines.
Yeah, and with Davo, the little diamond, Ross Barkley stepping up, running things, adding a third goal. He's been an erratic, brittle little prince. And that goal, so crucial for his confidence, so crucial for his confidence, so crucial for the club at a crucial time.
Yeah, Barkley and Shelvey for England, Rog.
I say for Everton, this win could not have come at a better time.
Yeah.
Man City, Tottenham, Chelsea, Swansea, Liverpool, United, Arsenal await them in their next 8 games.
Oh, Chelsea are over, Roger.
Brutal run akin to Stannis Baratheon's march on Winterfell. Great stat from at Oily Sailor.
Anti-Moyes banner, United win. Anti-Rogers banner, Liverpool win. Pro-Rogers banner, Liverpool lose. Anti-Ken Wright banner, Everton 2-0 up at halftime. I am going to be renting an anti-Jose banner before Chelsea's next
home
game.
The only winners of this are of small commercial aircraft rentals.
Cessna dealers.
They only win again. As for Southampton, tough start. You look around at European powers recently who've kind of grown through youth development. Lyon, Dortmund. And you do see big teams pluck them dry.
Yeah.
And it remains to be seen with Schneiderlin and Klein gone whether the team will lie fallow for a season. We will see.
Or it just could have been the curse of Rog. I've
killed before and I'll kill again.
Without a doubt.
A lot of Americans streaming over to watch games. We've got a great tweet, I'd love to read it, from one of our listeners at Greg C. Jacobs, who said, I'm at the Wembley tour, I'm in the lobby, they have a crossbar from the 1966 final there, the World Cup final that is, and two FIFA consoles. He said, there's 8 people playing FIFA. The zero looking at the crossbar. Modern football.
Yeah, very, very true, Rog. Talking of modern football, the US Women's National Team's victory tour, Rog, our favourite reunion tour since Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band got back together. American States United kicked off the tour by pouring 8 past Costa Rica Pittsburgh, Rog. The victory tour continues when the team plays Costa Rica again Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2. I don't think Costa Rica are looking
forward to that. Washington Generals have been disbanded.
Yeah, no.
I'd say, lovely moment in this game. Megan Klingenberg, who we adore, raised in Gibsonia outside of Pittsburgh.
Oh, she had the yellow towel.
Every season when she brought her golden team home, she scored the 5th goal, cue possibly the most Pittsburgh celebration ever. She grabbed a terrible towel from the sideline, charged around with it. It was 100% Yinza.
Yeah, and then she went home and read Michael Chabon's first novel. they'll also play Australia twice in September in Detroit and Birmingham, Alabama. In October, they'll play Brazil once in Seattle and once in a home game for Brazil, Orlando. Rog. In NMLS, this Sunday coming, Rog, a matchup between two of the league's marquee names as Frank Lampard and NYCFC travel to the left coast to take on Stevie G's LA Galaxy.
Frank and Stevie G.
Yeah, back clashing. Together again.
At Nolts, Rebecca tweeted us and said, "This is the presidential debate we deserve." Mm-hmm. This is an amazing game, David. Get this. Mm-hmm. An MLS game that has been scheduled for primetime broadcasting in the United Kingdom.
Wow.
They're playing at 3 o'clock Eastern, precisely yep. So it can play at nighttime. For the English audience, Sky did a great piece today. We tweeted out, if you want to see it, talking about this new surging English fascination with MLS. They wrote, there's now 22 players born in England who ply their trade stateside. That number makes England the second largest exporter of talent to MLS. Argentina currently leads the way with 26. Mm-hmm. However, that will change as the English influx continues. It's like living in the 80s when the Flock of Seagulls and Tears for Fears popped over here, David.
Yeah.
Been the biggest MLS news, non-MLS news, but very big MLS news of all time. At New York Post, Lewis reported this week that Cristiano Ronaldo spent $18.5 million on a 2,509-foot loft in Trump Tower.
Oh, what great timing from Cristiano Ronaldo. Oh,
it's going to be a long commute for him between Trump Tower and Columbus Crew when he does move here.
Without a doubt.
But by the way, Cristiano, I know you listen because he's a great friend of the pod, right,
yeah,
David?
Yeah, loves it.
That is, your apartment is half as big as the one Chuck Blazer brought for his cats.
Yeah, very, very true, Rog. Is Lampard even going to make the bench for NYCFC? His injury problems continue with that calf strain he picked up when he first came over here. I went and saw NYCFC play at the weekend. They played very well, Rog.
Poku.
But they had no Frank Lampard Poku. In the squad. That LA Galaxy NYCFC game, Rog, will be on ESPN at 3 p.m. Eastern Time Sunday. Okay, on to the Ravens. Our first Raven is from Gringonic Caballeros. I must confess, while watching the lovely Everton victory this past Saturday morning, I left a little puddle of pee on my living room floor like a cute cuddly cockapoo puppy welcoming his daddy home after another miserable day of work at the haberdashery. Wow, that's...
just like that.
Yeah, just like that. Senor Rogelio, do you also have urinary problems when Everton wins? I can confirm yes, short answer. P.S. My nipples tingled knowing Roger's nipples were tingling as well. This is going in a weird direction, this Raven Rog. The universe is a magical matrix of mystery. Note to self, must start selecting Ravens myself. Go ahead, Rog.
What's the question? Do I have urinary problems?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Let someone else ask the question a slightly different way.
Uh-huh.
At CD864 said, does it make Rog unhappy mm-hmm. when Everton wins because it upsets his worldview?
Yeah, well, that's sort of what I was going for at the beginning of the podcast, Rog, when I said, were you really happy? Because usually when really good stuff happens, you immediately start thinking about the bad stuff that's going to happen next.
Yeah, I mean, Everton kicked off at 7:45 this Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I always dread that kind of a game.
Yeah.
And I went into it mentally prepared. I mean, they're playing against Southampton, who were so good.
Uh-huh.
I was mentally prepared to have my entire weekend ruined come 9:30 Saturday morning, to just be inconsolable, to be not a useful husband, nor father, nor podcasting partner.
Yeah.
Just a mess, human mess. Instead, Davo, come 9:30, I was overwhelmed by unfamiliar emotions.
Yeah.
Happiness.
Yeah.
Do you know that one?
Every day.
Positivity. I think you trademarked that, don't you? Confidence.
Yeah.
Hope.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to handle myself.
You should have taken up golf, Rod.
I didn't know what to do with myself.
Uh-huh.
I drank a couple of Guinnesses and toasted Ross Barkley.
Yeah.
Romelu Lukaku.
Yeah.
My fortune to be born a bloop. I toasted love. I always toast love. But then the joy wore off.
Yeah. By about when?
By about within 20 minutes. And this is what I believe about football, David.
Yeah.
I think wins and 3 points are magic. I love them. It's fantastic. But the happiness is fleeting.
Yeah.
And the pain of a loss, David, or worse, of an injustice.
Yeah.
Like Ireland losing to France on the Thierry Henry handball goal.
Yeah.
And then being eliminated from the 2010 World Cup qualifying.
Mm-hmm.
I think the pain of defeat lost forever. I like the pain. It makes me feel alive.
Mm-hmm. But then you also get to celebrate the losses of Chelsea Football Club, Rog. Which made you feel better this weekend, Everton's win or Chelsea's, or the manner of Chelsea's loss? It's close.
I think I was most pained by Bournemouth.
Really?
Yeah.
That was on Monday.
The biggest takeaway, the most long-lasting set of emotions that I feel right now are purely
worry,
related.
Concern for Bournemouth.
Just injustice.
Mm.
Interesting. Yeah.
You love justice, Rog. The winner of the coveted Guinness Men in Blazers Poet, Philosopher, Soccer, Scribe, Raven of the Week is Steve Joe, Rog. In the most recent pod, the conversation about men of peculiar confidence, Mourinho, LVG, Donald Trump, made me think of an idea that a friend once told me, that you could smell confidence. I wondered if there was some special eau de confidence, said in best Arsene Wenger voice, that these men all had the ability to produce or somehow import into their post-match or debate interviews. Then I came across the advertisement for the new Zlatan Ibrahimovic parfum. It is amazing and indescribable. Zlatan strikes me as a man in the same confident mold of Jose, Louis van Gaal and the Don. My question is this, as experts in the study of men, is confidence something a human must produce out of their own mishmash of biological, social, spiritual conjuring? Or is it something you can wear and take on like a well-fitting blazer or a war pig tie? Did Zlatan let the secret of peculiar confidence out of the bag by selling this new smell? Does Rog use Drakkar Noir or Zlatan cologne before taking the good Mrs. Bennett out for a night on the town? Forgive me if these questions are too philosophical or even too pragmatic, but as lovers of men, you're the only two that can help enlighten us into the secrets of confident men. Thanks. Hope the Raven arrives smelling good. I sprinkled some Zlatan on the bird for the trip.
I should say the Zlatan aftershave commercial.
Yeah.
It's like this bizarre black and white 50-second commercial where it's a Zlatan's upper tattooed torso intercut with supposedly erotic, exotic images, goldfish.
Yeah.
There's like budding flowers, erotic budding flowers, and they'll just cut to nipple, presumably Zlatan's nipple.
A goldfish erotic?
You know, there's fetishes of every stripe in this world,
okay.
David.
Go ahead.
So you watch that, and I guess that's the deal. What confidence, David? That is more your ballpark than it is mine.
I don't think you can teach confidence. I certainly don't think you can teach it. I was talking about this the other day, vis-a-vis like how Jordan Spieth, an amazing golfer, this last weekend, watching him, even though Jason Day won the PGA Championship, just watching Jordan Spieth charge from behind, he just makes those huge putts at the moment when you just can't see any other golfer making that putt again and again and again. He's just so wonderful to watch. He has a lot of technical abilities as a golfer. He has a lot of, he's a beautiful swing. He has great tempo. He has an amazing short game. He's not super long off the tee, but he's good. What really marks him down is he's got this confidence. He's got this competitiveness. He has the desire and the belief in himself to get the ball in the hole. He gets the ball in the hole again and again and again. And I was asking people, is that teachable? Is there some way that you can go and teach it? And there's this whole book written about purposeful practicing, that the best athletes, it's not talent, it's actually that they practice purposefully. They practice as they want to go and play. But ultimately, and you've made this point about Jose Mourinho, maintaining that level, maintaining that standing, maintaining that stature, it's just hard work. It's
exhausting.
And perhaps confidence, just like anything else in the world, is really just about hard work. You've got to work hard at it.
I mean, so far, I spend very little time thinking about confidence anywhere off the football field. It's funny you go to sports. Like, I think of confidence, I think of Ross Barkley, how he lost it last season, how critical it is he regain it, how the goal for Benteke, I think, was crucial for Liverpool this weekend. For myself, confidence, I've never really thought about it. I think it comes from a sense of authenticity and a sense of feeling at one with yourself, a sense of being okay with yourself, your own strengths and your own weaknesses. I remember when I was six, I went to the barbers and asked him for my hero of that age. Six-year-old Rog idealised, I've never really talked about this, the Bionic Man.
Oh, Lee Majors, Steve Austin.
Steve, what a man. I took a photo of him to the barbers.
I sat next to him at dinner the other night.
I want him to come on the show, David.
I'll book him. I've
got so much to talk to him about.
Yeah.
But I took a photo of him to my barber, and I said, I want my hair looking just like his. And he cut my hair just like the Bionic Man's. And I turned around when it was finished. I said, I don't like it. I don't look like him. And he said to me, your face is different.
Wow.
And I do think confidence comes from working out what your best haircut should be for you, not for Steve Austin.
Yeah, Lee Majors.
And that is the irony of life, that you're just about working out and then you go completely bald.
Yeah, very, very true. But see, I'm torn on that. It could be authenticity that makes you confident. A lot of people say about Donald Trump that he's just authentically who he is. He's unapologetically about who he is. He knows his positions on everything and you can never catch him out. He's rewriting the rules of the political game because he just calls it like it is. He is consistent with who he is as a person. But on the other hand, it sometimes seems to me like a huge act that he's ignoring all of the realities of actually looking at what he looks like in a mirror. And he's just actually lying to himself about everything. It's an amazing combination of self-awareness and honesty and actually having a policy that you want to feel a certain way and deciding to go and feel that way and act that way.
I think Trump is in a different category of characters with Zlatan.
Yeah.
In that once you have your own aftershave, and producer Lexi showed me today that Donald Trump has not one. I think one of them's called Success, his aftershave.
Yeah.
And he has another one called what, Lex?
Empire. I thought it was going to be bankruptcy. Okay, Empire. But he could probably have a bankruptcy cologne and own it, Rog.
Once you have an aftershave, you have a very different kind of confidence.
Yeah.
I think you don't have to worry about confidence because your aftershave symbolizes confidence. And I just want to know, when I heard Lexi tell me that, I thought, who the heck? And if any of you do own any or wear it, I want to know, why would drive anyone to wear a Trump cologne? I was trying to think, number one, by the way, I don't like aftershave. I wear like a Nivea aftershave balm if I shave, which is very rarely. But what aftershave would you wear with someone's name on it, David? What men would make an aftershave that you would wear? Because I wouldn't wear Zlatan aftershave knowing that he wrote a book that he ended up not writing. That is not aftershave I'd wear. And I definitely wouldn't wear Trump's aftershave. Are there any blokes that if they brought out an aftershave, Michael Davis would be like, I would like some of that.
If it gave me some of his getting the ball in the hole confidence and ability, Jordan Spieth, I would wear Spieth. That would be good. I'd swap out my Aqua De Palma, which we've talked about on this podcast before, immediately for that. You know, I've got an idea. This is what we should do next week on the podcast, Rog. We should line up the Zlatan and the Trump aftershaves. And we should put them on and actually we'll do a blind
and
test.
And a third bottle, which I will fill with my own urine.
We'll do a blind test and see if
and
we can tell
one,
which one is which.
Guinness, my urine, Empire by Donald Trump and Zlatan aftershave. The only men who I would wear their aftershave, David, I'd wear Eddie Howe.
Yeah. Oh, tight of polo shirt.
That'd be a very sweet scent.
Oh, it's a very tight polo shirt.
I've gone on record before, so this is not news. I'd wear Rob Stone, stoner for men. The cologne. I'd wear Langston Hughes. Definitely, if their estate wanted to bring one. I'd definitely, probably out of everybody, I'd wear Arthur Miller. Yeah, it'd be a roll-on deodorant. I think it'd be a little bit flaky. It'd be fantastic.
Well, speaking of Eddie Howe, Rog, we had a wonderful competition that we set in motion
in our efforts to help Bournemouth.
Up the cherries! Rog, and we can now announce the winner of the Bournemouth crest design. Last week on the pod, we read a raven bemoaning Bournemouth's crest, which portrays a Dickie Dowsett header, who was a great striker for the club in the 1960s. GFOP Tom Aragona asked, is it supposed to be a player's head? If so, why does he have an elongated neck? And is that a massive goiter? So we asked you to design a new Bournemouth logo, and the winner, Rog, comes from GFOP Stefan Kathman. And what a wonderful winning entry it was. Would you like to describe it for our listeners, Rog?
It's a heraldic shield.
Yeah.
And upon it is the dog, I believe, from the Vitality commercials that runs
the
down
Vitality
the
Life commercials. It's a dachshund,
it's a little dachshund,
Rog.
And where its down below's are meant to be.
Yeah.
He's very creatively. Maybe I don't know if it's a real dog that he actually did this on in real life. I hope not, because they're not okay with that.
It's photorealism. It's photorealism.
He's inserted, it's down below, his two little cherries.
Yeah.
The dog looks quite pleased with himself and ready to breed.
Yeah.
And underneath it says,
we the cherries.
Up the cherries.
Oh, it says up.
Underneath.
Doesn't that look like we?
Underneath. No. No.
That looks exactly like we. I would read that 100 times.
We'll
and I'd say
it,
we
we'll
the cherries.
It on our, we'll post it on our Instagram.
I'll tell you, I see you we there. It's like when some people see two attractive women and somebody else sees Lenin. It's exactly that for me. Up the cherries. Rog.
We the cherries.
We the cherries. That's what I'm going to say all season. I was reading it a little bit from the side, but I still think that that says, we the cherries, Rog.
Yeah.
Oh, the glass, 49 years old, Rog.
The glass is either half full or we the cherries.
Very true.
Can I just say one more time?
Yeah.
November 13th and 14th, save the date, GFOPs.
So I have to save the date as well?
You've definitely got to save the date.
Oh, okay.
You spend a lot of time together that weekend.
It's one of the last weekends of golf in the Northeast, Rog. Okay. We got another big announcement this week, Rog.
We did.
Since we started Men in Blazers, one of the singular pleasures of our lives has been getting to know our GFOPs. I feel like I'm announcing our resignation right now. We are amazed.
Did we lose the election?
I have no idea. I am cold reading this, so I have no idea what it's going to say. This might be me announcing that Roger's fired me. We are amazed that such creative, brilliant, and twisted minds regularly wade through the crap that is our show. Now, we want your feedback. Oh, it's this. We want your feedback on how we can make the show slightly less suboptimal, maybe even listenable. Although this might just be Roger's way of getting you to say you don't want me anymore, and then I'll be gone.
How dare
We've
you?
Just launched a GFOP survey in an effort to find out a little more about you and what you think of Men in Blazers. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes to complete. And I must say, it's also shout out to GFOP and Men in Blazers intern Andrew Grotter. It's beautifully designed, and it's really, really fun to play along with and answer. It's like a piece of content, a piece of Men in Blazers content in and of itself. You can find it online at meninblazers.com. We will also be putting out the link via all of our social media channels and in this week's Raven newsletter. As I said, survey was created by Andrew Grotter. Spent this summer, Rog, toiling away, working on this for us. We're very grateful to Andrew for creating a survey that's sure
Thanks,
to expose all of our many flaws. And good luck in your next educational endeavor, even though we wish you weren't leaving, Andrew. Okay, your weekend looks like this, courtesy, Rog, of Mini USA. Wow, that was fast.
Oh,
it was fast and also highly connected to the road, Rog. Zippy, you can feel every turn on the road. Manchester United versus Newcastle United, the Battle of the Uniteds, Rog, 7:45 a.m. Eastern Time on Saturday.
Come on.
Everton versus Manchester City, 11 a.m. on Sunday.
My God, at least it's late.
Arsenal
in the
versus they're at home, Rog. You gotta believe that Everton can win that game. The week is a long time in the Premier League, Rog. Arsenal versus Liverpool, 2:45 p.m. on Monday, and all of those games are on NBCSN. There are many other ways to connect to us, Rog. One is through our Amazon Emporium, which helps keep the show going. Anytime you go on Amazon, Frightens Big or Small, just click off the Emporium page, and MIB gets a tiny percentage that allows us to cover the cost of creating the show. What are you putting in the Emporium this week?
A book!
Oh.
A book recommended to me as part of my membership at the Billy Beam Book Club.
Must start saying, what book are you putting in the Emporium this week?
To which I'm the only member. How to Live, A Life of Montaigne in One Question and 20 Attempts at an Answer by Sarah Bakewell.
Yeah.
Not a book I'd normally read, but I'm glad I did because it was magic.
Yeah.
It's a summary of the work of Montaigne, a French essayist from, I think, the 16th century, who's known as the world's first truly modern man. He was obsessed with questions of the inner self. Mm-hmm. He had an early brush with death and dedicated his life to thinking about the minutiae of how he should live it. Such questions as read a lot, forget most of what you read and be slow-witted, how to survive without love and loss, and then he'd divert into discussing the morality of cannibals, the meaning of his own near-death experience, and the bizarre behaviour of his own pet cats. His main thrust, Davo, is always the same, which I think we both share absolutely and completely.
Yeah.
How to live, don't worry about death.
Yeah. Or just be realistic about it, Rog. Okay, fall coming up. Time to start doing some fall wardrobe planning, Rog.
Oh, I love fall.
Yeah, post-Labor Day. Tough to wear the Stan Smiths. Tough to wear the Lavers. You got to move into other sneakers from the Adidas Originals lineup. I'm going for the Gazelle. I'm going deep into Gazelles, Rog, this fall. Early fall without socks, although I may consult with Guy Ritchie. Late fall with socks. I love them in, of course, I'm a blue. I'm going to wear them in the blue suede, Rog. It's called Marine, is what Adidas call it. $57 on Amazon.com.
That's so crazy. I've gone for fall. I've gone Stan Smith high top.
Oh, high tops,
yeah.
Rog. Stan Smith make a high top.
I just found a pair.
Yeah.
And I mean, are you surprised by the Stan Smith part or the high top part?
I'm surprised about two things. That's what I was going to say. Two things. One, I'm surprised that Stan Smith make high tops. Secondly, I'm surprised you bought them. I've never seen you wear high tops.
I don't wear them strictly.
Yeah.
Because my shins are very low. Like very, in fact, my legs are 90% made of shin.
Yeah.
So the high tops end up just the below my kneecap.
Yeah.
But they're so beautiful. I could not.
What?
Buy them.
Okay. You can now watch entire episodes of our
Literally,
crap.
They go up to my thighs.
I love it. Can you wear them with shorts?
No, producer.
Wear them with your shorter shorts.
Produce JW.
Yeah.
He has. His thighs seem to go right down to his ankles.
He does not have knees.
Enormous.
He has thighs that connect to his ankles.
He's a dirty, filthy football player, soccer player.
He's like Lee Catamol.
He's unbelievable. He's
looks like David Silva. Plays like Lee Catamol.
He's just got these incredible thighs that just never end. He just essentially ties his boots onto the end.
Yeah, he doesn't have a knee.
Two enormous thighs.
He just has, they're flexible in the middle. His thighs look like, because I saw him in his football outfit, they look like the cross section of a human on an anatomy. You know, diagram. You see all the tendons, you see all the muscles. He's got a six-pack on his thighs.
I have very low shins.
Yeah, you do, Rog. But now very high tops, which is a good combination.
America.
You can now watch entire episodes of our crap TV show on NBC Sports, Live Extra, Apple TV and Roku. It's also up on our website, menandblazers.com. Also on menandblazers.com, a place to sign up for our newsletter, The Raven, which we produce with our partner, Guinness. Don't forget about the survey. And check out our Spotify account, men_in_blazers, menandblazers.wickerspaces.com/a wonder of the modern world. You can follow us on Twitter, at Rog Bennett, at Embassy Davies, at Men in Blazers. On Instagram, at Embassy Davies, at Men in Blazers. And Roger's secret account that he doesn't tell anybody about. Like us on Facebook. We've got a subreddit, Rog, meninblazers.reddit.com, maintained by GFOPs, Akshay, Calvin, and Alex. You can always send your ravens to the crap part of Soho. You can always email us at meninblazers@gmail.com. Vendorpunk, Rog.
War pig.
Who wants to sex Mutombo?
Explosion.
Courage.
Take that, Gloria.
Is that your analysis?
Seersucker it up.
It was a big result.
Kung Fu Fight in America. Love you, David.
Love you too, Rog.
R.I.P. Julian Bond.
Yeah, and John Terry. His career's over.